And now the epistle reading from Romans. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. So for this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. And in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite stories is the one Frederick Buechner tells about the time he was deeply, deeply distressed over the well-being of one of his young daughters. Almost overcome with fear, he pulled his car in his little Vermont town over to collect his thoughts for a moment. Then he looked up to see that the license plate on the car in front of him read T-R-U-S-T, trust. Later on, he wrote about that experience, and not long after, there was a knock at the door, and a man standing there with an old, winter-weathered Vermont green license plate. It turned out that the car's owner was a trust officer at the local bank. And now the plate sits on a shelf in Buechner's bookcase, rusty around the edges and a little battered, he says, and as holy a relic as he'll ever have. It was a chance thing, Buechner writes, but also a moment of epiphany, of revelation, telling me, trust your children, trust yourself, trust God, trust life. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of learning to trust life. And at the outset, I want to say that if you ask yourselves whether or not you do trust life and say no, I want you to know that I think that's understandable. There are many reasons why we would not trust our lives. There is pain, there is disappointment, there is deep disparity and horrible heartache in this world. And if anyone has ever had their hopes up and then had them dashed, then you know just how easy it is to doubt your life and the path that it's on. And I wouldn't blame you if you do. And I wouldn't blame you if you think any talk about trust seems, well, superficial or fluffy or overly optimistic in the face that all might befall us in this thing called life. I get it. Life can hurt. It can disappoint. And the last thing I want you to take from me is a bunch of bromides, empty promises from another Baptist preacher. I've never been a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it preacher. And I don't want you to be mistaken in thinking that I'm saying that if you will just believe, then you will be blessed. Rather, I want you to see and believe that you've already been blessed in the eternal goodness and grace of God, and that the promises that we have are not promises a preacher gives, but promises God gives. I want you to see and believe that God is good. God is good, the preacher in the black church tradition says. And then the people say, all the time. And then the preacher says, all the time. And the people say, God is good. I want you to see and believe that God is indeed good. And I want you to believe that the promises of this God are trustworthy and true and bound to come to pass in their own time and in their own way, and that the whole world is to be blessed and be saved by them. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. And thanks be to God that we get to believe it, not only on behalf of ourselves, but also on behalf of our families and our friends and the whole world. That is the grace that has been given unto us as the people of faith, in the gift of faith, for the sake of faith. And as Paul says, the ones who live righteously live by faith. The substance of the things that are hoped for, yet unseen. We are a faith community. And that means our shared sense of fellowship and kinship and belonging is not based on biology or pedigree or fraternity or income or neighborhood or anything else like that. It is based upon our faith. It is based upon our shared sense of faith in God. And we share this sense of faith not only with one another, but also with other faith communities, which also belong to Abraham, the father of all of our faiths. Abraham was 75 years old when he was called by God. At 75 years, it was definitely what we would call a second career ministry. And he was 99 when the Lord appeared to him and told him that he would be the father of many nations. And his wife, Sarah, was 90 when they had the baby. 90. I have a friend who preached about that at an assisted living center one day, and a woman in a wheelchair looking up at him blurted back, "Try telling that to Medicare." It was a little absurd. Yet Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him is righteousness. Now, I do not want you to misinterpret anything that I am saying this morning about this story. Do not think that you can just believe your way into blessing. Do not think that you can believe your way into having children. I mean, from a Christian perspective, we actually don't believe that Abraham's blessing was to be a father in a strictly biological sense. Anyhow, he is our father not by biology, but by faith. In good faith, God blessed Abraham. And by faith, Abraham believed in the blessing. He believed in the blessing about the call of his life. And even though it didn't make any sense, even though it seemed absurd to think such a thing could happen, he still trusted the blessing. And he still trusted his life. And that is another way of saying he trusted God. Because God is life. Because Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Trust me." And I think of all of those who did trust Jesus and God with their lives and have taught us to do likewise. I think of Frederick Buechner and all of the ways in which his words have been such an encouragement to me, especially as a father. I think of Addie Davis, who was called to a second career ministry, who, though a woman and a Southern Baptist, believed yet that she too was called to preach. I think of my friend Nathan Russell, who, when he was a member here, kept waiting and waiting and waiting for a church that would call an openly gay pastor. Like Abraham, he had to go to a land he knew not of, all the way to Ohio to find a church. but it happened. I think of 250 years of black slaves chopping cotton for the overseer by day, but singing songs about freedom by night, stealing away to Jesus by night. And I think of an unknown and unnamed Jew writing defiantly inspiring words on the wall of a Nazi concentration camp during the Holocaust. I believe in the sun when it's not shining. I believe in love when there's no light there. And I believe in God even when God is silent. God was silent for a long time with Abraham, but he still believed. And I think of all those others who still do the same. I think this morning of a young couple here at Broadway who, like Abraham and Sarah, tried to have a baby but couldn't. But they still sensed a call to be parents. So they decided to adopt two beautiful and very precocious children. And together, the four of them made a life together. Not a biological family, but a family of faith and hope and love. Lots and lots of love. Then, in the fullness of time, lo and behold, mom and dad did get pregnant. For the Lord works in mischievous ways. And now they have three beautiful and precocious children, all of them blessed by God in their own way. And all of them children of God's wonderful, wonderful promises. God is good all the time. This is a pastoral word this morning. I know that some of you have been struggling. I know many of you have. The past year has been so hard for so many. And we still aren't certain about the future. We worry and we wonder sometimes, how in the world can God work anything good out of where we find ourselves right now? But God is good. As a people of faith, we are certain of this. We are certain that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the author and the finisher of all things. And God has a plan for working out God's purposes for our lives and for the life of this whole world. And we can trust it. T-R-U-S-T. We can trust God. We can trust Jesus. We can trust the Holy Spirit. They are on our side, y'all. And they are walking with us. And they know the way. And they know what and who is waiting on us when we get there. So there is no need to be anxious or to be afraid. The sermon title this morning is Learning to Trust God. And the way that we learn to trust God is by trusting day by day by day. I close this morning then with bringing to mind an old Christian hymn which I love. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I looked it up the other day, and the internet says the author is Alan Jackson. Well, Alan Jackson did sing it, but the song itself is a little older than Jackson's gospel albums. In fact, it's even older than Chattahoochee. The lyrics were written by a woman named Louisa M. R. Stead in 1882. She was a missionary who had lost her husband in a tragic accident in 1875. The loss devastated her life, but her faith for her became a strong, strong anchor to see her through the storm. 7 years later, she penned these wonderful, wonderful words. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Then the refrain, which is by far and away my favorite part. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. It is a grace to trust and to believe in God. May we be given the grace to trust and believe more and more. And may it be reckoned unto us that we learn to trust our lives to God and God with our lives. And even with our life eternal. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and trustworthy, mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.